AM 770 KTTH, the Jason Rance Show. Brian Suits filling in for Jason Rance. And we will talk to Tanya Powers later on this hour about Maria Butina, a woman here legally on a student visa, then a work visa, who's been arrested for espionage and being an unregistered foreign agent, et cetera. We'll talk to her. She was talk to Tanya Powers of Fox News about this. We're not actually... Maria Butina apparently is going to get a consular visit from the Russian consulate today. So that'll be a little later on. Well, the East Side's Dave Reichert, Congressman Dave Reichert, or as I used to call him and still call him, the right Dave. Like I said in 2005, the right Dave won. He is the chairman of the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Trade. And he held a hearing yesterday, the effects of tariffs on U.S. agriculture and rural communities. And I'll send out a link to it if you want to watch it. But this is, you know, keep in mind, the Trump tariffs go two ways. You drop a tariff on a longtime trading partner, and what do they do? Predictably, this is why it's not a very conservative stance to do this. If you really believe in markets, they retaliate. But if they're smart, they retaliate with smart bombs. And for a lot of you, I mean, I know that Seattle is the fastest growing city in America, and for the third year in a row, there's more construction cranes. But for those of you who have moved here from elsewhere and you've still never left King County, let me drop the news to you. Yes, airplanes, big deal, heavy manufacturing, and yes, high tech. It's one of the epicenters on the face of the earth of high tech is King County and the Seattle area in general. But guess what? You leave King County, especially if you head east, and you're in a farm state, full stop. Those trees that you're looking at, if they're in a national forest, they're a crop. That's why the Department of Agriculture runs national forests. You are in an agricultural state, no matter how wired you are at South Lake Union, no matter what you think about this new utopia called Seattle, you live in a state that grows stuff that people eat. I mean, world-leading stuff, cherries, apples, apricots, the delicious, we have delicious schools of applets and cotlets running up the Columbia River every single year, some of them with walnuts. This is an agricultural state. And you know who joins us right now is the chairman of the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Trade, Congressman Dave Reichert, or as I call him, the right Dave. Congressman, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? Sorry.
Not a problem. Very, very good. I was just breaking the news to many of the listeners, perhaps, who were new to the state of Washington. This is a agricultural state. Some of these tariffs are coming back on us because the countries in question get to retaliate. And when they retaliate when it comes to wine, exported fruit, and even wheat, the state of Washington, amongst others, feels the blow. So what did you learn yesterday? What is the impact of some of these tariffs on on Washington agriculture?
So I think it's your point really is a great one for people to understand. It's not just when these tariffs are applied to the agricultural community across the country. Yes, it does affect the price that you'll pay. Even in our own state where we grow cherries, apples, et cetera, because the price then goes up. And so this is happening across the nation. So you expect an increase in the ag products. But the thing that most people sort of overlook is the underlying retaliation that affects the cost of running the farm. So all of the equipment that farmers and orchardists must buy, tractors and fencing and barns and all those things that are made out of steel and aluminum also raise the cost of operating their farm. And so simply put, yesterday by the ag community that testified in front of my trade hearing, basically said, look, what's happened with the tariff war here is that, very simply put, we lose market share across the world. When we lose market share, we don't sell as much, and therefore then some of the fruit and ag products will rot, and so they don't grow as much. You don't grow as much. You start cutting back on your farm workers. And you don't grow as much, you're not making as much money. And what's resulting already in some parts of the country, small family-owned farms are already looking at closing down their farms. We're going to lose these farmers and these small family-owned farms that have been held by families for generations in some cases.
And also, you were part of the effort. It took, for a lot of people who don't know this, there's also sort of an unmeasured investment. The 80s and 90s and the early 2000s, Washington State worked really hard getting a foot in the door in the agricultural markets in Japan, where there were all sorts of barriers. When the Chinese started producing more middle-class people, Washington State went there and put in the legwork to sell them apples that were more expensive than Chinese apples, but they were better quality, cherries, etc. And the problem here is now the Chinese might get used to Chinese apples and never come back.
Right, and in other countries, too, for that matter. Now, a few years ago, during the Bush administration and into the Obama administration, I was the lead on the Ways and Means Committee on the Korean trade agreement, which is being relooked at because of certain issues that the Koreans know they need to take care of as far as implementing the trade law. But those have been addressed. But what happened as a result of the Korean trade agreement, and you can apply this broadly across the spectrum of trade agreements, is that prior to the Korean agreement, there was a huge tariff on our cherries, and those tariffs have almost disappeared. And so when you talk to the cherry growers in Washington State, what you'll discover is their exports to Korea have more than doubled. And that's what happens when we sit down and negotiate. My hope is that, and I've encouraged Secretary Ross just recently on two occasions personally in a one-on-one meetings with him and with Ambassador Lighthizer to ask the President to please reconsider the exclusions on Canada and Mexico, and to move forward with a quick resolution on NAFTA, because that will give some sense of certainty and hope for our nation's farmers and for other manufacturers and small businesses, for that matter, across the country. And when that would lead to, if we could get the NAFTA thing resolved, get Canada and Mexico in a good place, it would lead to then the next step is what the administration has said is that they'd like to do bilateral and they'd like to do it with Japan. When they begin that discussion, that naturally will lead into a discussion again about TPP, because now you're dealing with Mexico, Canada, the U.S., Japan, all TPP members. And the supply chain within that Pacific Asia group of those 12 formerly TPP, now TPP-11, with the U.S.'s absence, when you begin that discussion of, for example, automobiles, the supply chain there is so interconnected between those countries that it automatically becomes not a bilateral but a multilateral. And what happens is you create that hope for the future for farmers, and they can make decisions on now, you know, what do they plant this year? How much do they plant? Can they buy a new tractor? Can they build a new barn?
Last question, because we're running late. Real quick, the Canadians are sending hyper-targeted tariffs towards states that voted for Trump. Now, would you be the biggest blue falcon in Congress if you called the Chinese and said, look, heads up, I ain't saying nothing, but Trump didn't win the state of Washington, and you're bankrupting Washington residents? I'm not telling you that, but would you be the bad guy, or do you want me to make that call?
Well, I meet with the Canadians all the time, and they definitely do have a strategy. And they not only that, but they have a strategy, of course, with meeting with members here in Congress, and have gained some allies here in their attempt to influence the direction that the administration is leaning.
You know, the Chinese are just using a sledgehammer.
The Chinese are they see, which I think, in my opinion, anyway, they have. we have created an opportunity here for the rest of the world, because if we had teamed up with Canada and Mexico, for example, and then moved on, as I described earlier, into TPP, we would all be directing our attention in a unified fashion in setting such high standards that China would have to capitulate and be a part of that effort in raising their standards and straightening themselves out as far as a trade partner. But what we've done now is that we've not made, what we've done is we've made the U.S. the bad guy, and there's a global effort now to address the bad acts of the United States versus an effort to address the bad acts of China.
All right, Congressman Dave Reichert, thanks for getting back to us there on short notice.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
All right, thank you. There he goes, Dave Reichert, your 8th Congressional District, or as we said in 2004, the right Dave. It is Brian Suit filling in on the Jason Rantz Show, AM 770 KTTH.
Send us a text, 1-800-465-8770. It's the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline.